Broadcasting to New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Sydney, London, and around the world, this is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us on Trumpet Radio Live 101.3 KPCG. Coming up on today's program, a recent dog attack highlights the dangers of pit bulls. Just how dangerous are those dogs? What do women look for in a man? Is it the modern university construct or the more traditional male? Fox News has a report. And what is civics teaching kids about America? That and more coming up on this Wednesday edition of Trumpet Radio Live.
This is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us on Trumpet Radio Live. We're at 101.3 KPCG. We are online at kpcg.fm, live link at thetrumpet.com, and you can also listen on the TuneIn app. And there's probably other places, but those are the places that I know about. If you know about something, let me know.
The underground podcast menu.
The secretive podcast menu. We do have podcasts as well. I'm Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon here today. If you'd like to email us, you can do that. Comments at kpcg.fm. Thanks for sending those. And you can follow the radio station on Twitter at kpcgfm. Grant, over the course of the last few months, I guess, occasionally we've mentioned the albino deer people have claimed to see on the campus here of Herbert W. Armstrong College, which is where we're broadcasting from. And one of the fellows that works on the campus, Doug, his last name shall remain anonymous, so no one knows who he is.
No one will know.
No one will know who that is. He sent me a bunch of pictures. He took pictures of them, and they are a real thing.
Wow.
Albino deer.
Not lit up by headlights.
No.
Wow.
Legitimate. I saw him last night in passing, and he said, hey, I know you've been talking about that. He said, I've got photos, and he sent them, and it's the real deal.
Photoshop's a powerful tool, though. Wow. I'm still skeptical.
I'll send them your way after the show so you can see them yourself. I think I might post a couple.
You should.
I'll post
them. Just see if anyone believes it or not.
Yeah, later today I'll post them to, I'll tweet them out. And so it's pretty impressive. They are albino deer. I've never seen it before, but it's like getting a picture of Bigfoot.
How can we have such a phenomenon here on campus?
I don't know. How come I've never seen them?
Of all places.
They're all hiding around. But so anyway, if this is a new story to you, you might be like, why is this relevant? Well, hey, it's an albino deer. Come on, it is interesting.
It sure is. Doesn't matter if it's relevant or not.
I don't care who you are. No matter what's going on in the world, if there's an albino deer walks your way, you stop and you take note of it. Anything could be happening. You say, wait a second, that was an albino deer.
It's at least worth a couple minutes of conversation.
Absolutely, it is. Yeah. We were checking out the headlines today, as we always do before the program, and I was looking at CNN, and of course, they're in the tank for Obama, obviously, President Obama, really against President-elect Donald Trump, at least for now. Maybe that'll change, but so I just thought it was interesting. Their big headline today, huge in their main section. A nice picture of President Obama smiling. Title of the article was, How Do You Like Me Now? Talking about he has a high approval rating. Then they have the stories on the left column, and they are this. GOP excited about Trump, worried about what he'll say. Elizabeth Warren says, Trump, show us you're for real. Trump's new world disorder. Inauguration security costs $100 million. Trump's EPA pick could be grilled on earthquakes. Right, because earthquakes are his fault. HHS pick price faces tough questions about investments. DeVos, yes, Trump's leaked tape comments describe sexual assault, and Trump doesn't represent America's views on climate change. I don't know. Seem a little biased to you?
Just a tad bit. Where is that?
CNN.
Oh, wow. Just an all-out assault.
An all-out assault. And again, I mean, if there's something legitimate to bring up, good, bring it up, but... You know, the fact that they're saying that security costs $100 million, well, they probably all cost a fair bit. EPA pick grilled on earthquakes? There might be more to the story than I know. What next, you know, blame them for rain or lack thereof? And then I saw this story a little bit last night about the Price faces tough questions about investments. Maybe there's something to look at there. But then I saw this other story today, too, about how one of Donald Trump's daughters asked for a free haircut or something. And, like, this is top news. I'm like, you're picking at the little stuff. There's some major issues, and you're going after the little things.
I think it's so sad that even their questions are biased. Mr. Stephen Fleury talked about some questions that were asked about of Martin Luther King Jr. Martin Luther King III. I forget how you say that exactly, yeah. But there were questions like, did it cut you to the heart when someone said this? Or a woman came in here the other day and said that Trump's going to hold up African Americans against the wall, both literally and figuratively. What do you say about that? Yeah. And it's just these questions where at least ask an unbiased question, and if he gives you an answer that you want, you could run with it. But they're even trying to influence the answers they get.
Absolutely. Yeah, I heard that segment, and the question especially about holding people up against the wall. And they said some woman came in and said this was going to happen. I'm like, what woman? Some woman said this
to you? A lot of credibility there.
Like, he's literally going to grab people and throw them up against the wall? I think he's like 70, isn't he? I don't think he's throwing anybody up against the wall. And people are just like, well, you know. Some agree with it, but a lot don't. Like has been mentioned before, the people with the megaphone, they're the ones that are, you know, spewing their ideas. But a lot of people don't agree with it. A lot of the nation doesn't agree with it. So anyway, those are a look at some of the headlines today. Another one of the stories that CNN did. It's too funny. Yeah, I think it said something to the effect of President Obama's 8 years in 10 hip hop lyrics. And I looked at who wrote it, and it was two white girls. It looked to be about 25 ladies, I guess it'd be. So I just thought, well, that's not exactly hard hitting news. But I looked at the lyrics, and they were not great.
Did they describe his presidency at all?
They made a passing reference within some sort of a song. I couldn't tell you who most of the artists were or what they were doing. I don't even know if you'd call it a song. They were talking over rhythmic drums. Whatever that is.
We're just not up with the hip-hop scene
just
at all.
Just not up with it. These two young white ladies were, though. Here's one from Fox News. This is a really interesting story. I think what's going on here is this Republican is trying to attack abortion, but he's coming about it in a different way by proposing this bill that's really strange. It says bill would let women sue doctors who perform their abortions. So that would make doctors very nervous. Iowa lawmakers are considering a bill that would allow a woman who gets an abortion to sue the doctor who performed the procedure if she experiences emotional distress later. So that would be obviously probably everybody in most cases. If approved, it would be the first law of its kind in the U.S. The proposal, which was endorsed Tuesday by a GOP-led three-member panel of lawmakers, would permit the woman to file a lawsuit at any point in her life. You heard that right. Something that goes against typical statute of limitation rules. It could also make the state vulnerable to costly court challenges. Can you imagine if that was an actual law? There'd be a lot of lawsuits.
Well, I'm pretty sure every single woman who has ever had an abortion at some point, even 30 or 40 years down the line, will have some type of regret. And if every single woman who has ever had an abortion is able to sue, probably a good idea for doctors never to perform those procedures at all.
And that's what they're thinking that this bill is trying to do. Like, you know, they're trying to do away with abortion, but do it through this bill, kind of a roundabout way. It says, what we're asking for is that individuals, doctors, and clinics that make money off of women by giving them abortions are simply held accountable, said Senator Mark Kellgren, the Republican who introduced the bill. That's all this does, he says. It protects women from people who would normally be trying to sell them something in a time when they are under the most stress that is kind of imaginable. Interesting sentence, but I think we get the point. So the bill's going to go next to another committee. It's unclear how much GOP support the idea has in the Iowa legislature, though the state's incoming Republican governor did not dismiss it. Opponents, they say, could argue that it would create an undue burden on women by reducing opportunities for them to access a legal medical procedure if doctors avoid offering abortions because of the constant threat of legal action. One person comments, when you look at it more carefully, it's a threat to the woman because it creates a deterrence for doctors to do this. They think the bill's intent is clear, and that is to demonize abortion providers. So it sounds kind of like that's what they're doing, because that would be just an unbelievable law if it went through. Everybody would sue, wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would be, I don't know how you wouldn't. Unless they just didn't want to get involved in the court process. But at any time in your life, if you ever feel emotional distress, you can sue. People are going to sue.
Yeah, it's just a crazy idea. I'm all for, personally, just shutting down every abortion clinic, but I don't think it should be their fault that a woman chooses to go to them. I mean, if you choose to have someone mutilate you from the inside, that's your own choice. That's not the doctor's fault that you decided to go there.
Yeah, doctors and dentists and whoever, people doing medical procedures, they do have to pay quite high insurance rates for malpractice insurance. And I know somebody that was a dentist, and they had to pay it, I think, long after even they were done being a dentist, because there is a certain, you know, I don't know how long it is, but there's a certain amount of time where somebody could still come back and say, hey, you caused me a problem. So none of us like paying high bills when you go to the dentist or you have something like that, but they have to pay too. It's this whole system that's built on protecting against lawsuits. And in some cases, lawsuits are needed, but it does make things more expensive. So this is an interesting bill. When I read the first beginning, I'm like, why would they ever allow that? But then I read the rest and saw, okay, they're just trying to do away with abortion mm-hmm. through a bill, I think.
So. Yeah, and that's probably an admirable goal, but at the same time, there is personal responsibility at play. I mean, it is the woman's choice if she's going to do something like that. Maybe not a choice she should even have, but she's making that choice and should be able to deal with the consequences.
Yeah, it's just a weird system when you get away from God's law, you get into man's law, and you just keep making law on top of law, and then trying to make a law to overdo the other law, and it's just this whole pile of stuff. And that's why you've got a lot of lawyers and judges and the whole legal system, because you got to sort through it all.
Yeah, well, it's all built on the letter of the law, people trying to find any tiny loophole that they can go through. So obviously you need to just legislate every little crack in the armor, so to speak. You can't just hope that people will take the law for what it was meant to do instead of trying to take advantage of it.
Yeah, it's really, really an interesting situation there. This is a sad story, and it does this next one here, and it highlights some problems that have happened in this country, I guess, recently, with pit bulls. It says a boy, 6 years old, killed, and girl, 5, critically injured in dog attack while on their way to school bus. It's a parent's worst nightmare. Kid's worst nightmare. A young boy has been killed and a young girl critically injured after they were mauled by 3 dogs in Atlanta Tuesday morning, according to police. So in the city, I'm not sure, you know, where in the city, but these dogs, you'd think more like country, but they can be in the cities too. Matter of fact, I think Dallas actually has a pretty high rate of dogs, not all pit bulls, but just kind of roaming the town. Logan Bratz, who's 6, was killed in the attack by what appeared to be pit bulls, while 5-year-old Ciara Sanders was taken to a hospital. The attack reportedly occurred when the kids were walking to their school bus stop. So they did a recent 11-year period from 2005 to 2015. During that time, pit bulls killed 232 Americans. That's about one citizen every 17 days. And by 2018, pit bulls are projected to have mauled to death 338 Americans since 1998. It's not a huge number, but obviously, you know, one is too many. And, I mean, a lot of animals can cause problems, not just pit bulls. And some people really back pit bulls and are very much of the opinion that they're fine, but I don't think so. I think they're killers.
Yeah, it seems like they are raised to be killers, or they just have that instinct in them from birth. I'm not really sure which. I'm sure they probably aren't all raised to be put in a cage to fight another dog, but they do have that sort of nasty spirit to them.
I think they're bred for that purpose.
So every single one that would be born even?
You know, I'm no dog expert, but from what I've heard from people that do know a little bit more, you know, in a lot of cases, I think the breeding is for that purpose. Mm-hmm. So, again, it's not to say that everyone would cause problems, but the few that I've seen are pretty vicious. I know some people that live in an area where there's a few not far away, and they always have to be on guard because mm-hmm. they'll chase their vehicle, and are pretty vicious. So, and that can be a lot of dogs, but it just seems like the pit bulls are in the news for killing kids in particular, obviously because they're smaller. And, you know, they could do more damage against a child than an adult or older adults, too. So I wouldn't have one personally.
Right. That's probably a good idea not to. I wonder if people who breed those dogs to fight would ever just sell them to a regular family, because how are they getting out of, like, the fighting ring, you know?
They're all over. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of a... I don't know if it's considered sort of exotic to have it. You know, there's some pets that people have that are not normal. You know, people have a snake or something that you wouldn't typically have a snake in your house. So I don't know if that's the reason, but I mean, you see them for sale. I mean, if you look, we've looked online, you know, occasionally thinking about maybe getting a dog for the kids or something. We've never done it yet, but we've looked. And there are pit bulls out there that you can get. But I think, you know, as a parent with small children, I would be very cautious. You know, if my neighbor had one, I'd be very cautious.
Right. That's really one every 17 days.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Obviously, breeding an animal to kill, anytime that thing gets out of a cage or is anywhere in public, that could be pretty dangerous.
Mm-hmm. It's like anything. There's probably instances where somebody has one and it's been great for them. And they would say, no, they're great. And then another instance where it kills somebody. But I don't know.
You just don't know which one it'll be.
Yeah. And that's what happens sometimes with animals like that, where they were fine until something happens. And, you know, even just any dog is, you know, sometimes they get a little, like even little ones that aren't a threat. Those especially will come out and they'll bark at you and mm-hmm. run at you. And they're so little, they're not going to do anything, obviously. Pit bull's a different story. That'll do some damage.
Oh, right. If we're trying to justify it by saying it's fine until... What if we try to describe a human that way? Like,
yeah.
He was fine until he killed somebody. I mean, well, that's...
That does happen, actually, you too. I mean,
you can be a great person, but if you kill someone one day, you're put away for life. You don't get redemption somehow, usually.
So I'm not sure what they did with these dogs. In some cases, dogs like that get killed. In some cases, they don't. I'm not really sure what the policy is on that as far as the law of the land goes. But anyway, interesting story. It's always a debate. Are they fine? Are they not fine? Too many stories, in my opinion, of where they're killing people. And I just think that they're kind of dangerous. And once they attack, there's not a lot you can do. I mean, those things are going to hold on. You know, 5-6-year-old kid. I feel so bad for the kids and the parents. And the parents saw it. It's terrible.
Oh, the parents were nearby.
Well, they heard the screaming.
Wow.
A neighbor heard the screaming, and they thought, oh, this is trouble, you know, obviously, and this is the time kids go to school, and went out there, and then I think the mom showed up and was so distraught she couldn't grab the body of the child, and so the neighbor picked the body up, called the ambulance, and just, you know, you can't undo that. And when situations like this occur, and maybe these were just roaming, maybe they were just, you know, loose, and didn't have an owner. But if they had an owner, you know, you'd be furious.
Oh, yeah.
You want to keep a dog like that, fine. You keep it, though, and keep it in your private area. Don't let that thing out. There's been stories. There was a story where one went under the fence, like a security fence, and grabbed the kid and pulled it underneath from, you know, the other yard. So they can do things like that.
Wow. Yeah. The only people they should have a chance of doing that to would be the owners. If the owners are going to take that risk, they shouldn't be putting the risk on somebody else, too.
Yeah. But it's interesting because this has come up in conversation before, and some people are really strong on the other side.
Really?
Oh, they're fine. You just need to know how to raise them. And so there are different opinions. But I just think those things, there's too many stories like this for me. And I just feel so bad for the kids. Well, didn't need to happen.
The vast majority of people would not know how to raise them correctly, even if that were what's so important about it.
Yeah, so pretty interesting. One of my neighbors has a really huge dog. I don't know anything about dogs, really, the breeds and all that, other than, you know, the few basic things. But they have one. It looks like a horse, like a small horse. It's so big. And it's just the deepest, like, bellow. And usually it's just behind their fence, and it kind of looks at you when you walk by. But one day they were out walking the thing, and it had on a chain or on a leash. And that thing walked by me, and I was like, I could ride that. Like, you could ride that around the neighborhood. It's the biggest dog I've ever seen. It's huge.
Animals, in a lot of ways, they just make me very uncomfortable. I mean, they're very unpredictable, at least to me. I don't have a whole lot of experience with them, but they're so powerful. A lot of them could just maul a human being if they wanted to right away.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're going to do.
And that, yeah, and that's, they always say that, like, you know, it can sense your fear or something.
Right.
Like, is it sensing anything right now? Because I don't know what to do with this thing.
I don't know how I could hide if I'm afraid.
Just got to be confident, I guess. Yeah, we were talking about fight or flight yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I should have asked you, what are you? Are you a fight or flight guy?
I'd probably try to, like, kick it in the head first and mm-hmm. then run after I had, like, dazed it for a second.
Yeah.
That's what I'd probably do.
Yeah, one time we were taking a walk around the neighborhood, and I think some dog ran out. And I did, you know, we do get a few strays here and there. You don't know where they're from or what they'll do. Usually they're friendly, and that's actually a bad deal because they follow us like they're part of our family. But then they just run all over the place. And so you're walking down the road and a car's coming and the dog jumps out in front of the car and they're looking at me like, keep your dog. You know, I'm like, I don't own this dog. I don't even know who it is. I'm trying to figure out a way to like gesture that to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not my dog. I need sign language or something.
Exactly.
Because, I look like a horrible dog owner, but I'm like, I don't know who this dog is. Just start to follow me. But yeah, one time we were walking and some dog ran out and, I kind of had to jump in front of it. It didn't do anything. You know, you never know if they're just going to run and bark at you or if they're seriously going to do something. And so in that case, I did kind of jump in front of it and tried to act tough, and it bought it and ran away. And I'm like, I'm glad he believed me.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I could win this one.
Well, the thing is, if you start running, I'm pretty sure humans are faster than or slower than pretty much every animal.
Right.
I mean, maybe a sloth is slower, but even hippos are faster than us. Everything is.
Yeah, there's no way we're gonna survive. There's a there was actually a story too about in Australia. If you think dogs sometimes can chase you when you're running, this lady was jogging and a kangaroo came out and attacked her.
Mm.
And it's pretty vicious. You don't want to mess with the kangaroo.
Yeah, they do that thing where they jump and they kick both feet out at you at the same time while they're balancing on their tail.
Yeah,
it's pretty incredible and really powerful too.
Yeah, really powerful. I guess in my fantasy, if I was thinking about fighting a kangaroo, I would like tail sweep him.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Karate Kid. You just swing around and like take out his tail or grab his feet and swing him around. But it's probably such a powerful kick that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they could break our bodies just by one of those kicks.
Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, even something like a cat, you look at that thing and you're like, if it had a mind to, it would be tough. That would be a tough one.
Well, look at the way they maul things and bring them back to your doorstep.
Yeah.
I mean, they are pretty vicious. They can tear apart
fast,
most creatures.
Hard to get a hold of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be the next thing. You know, man versus beast. Some sort of a reality show.
Oh yeah. They'll probably do a fight to the death.
Yeah.
We're not far away from that.
Who knows? It's that time of in man's history when you never know what in the world's gonna happen with reality TV programs. Here's an interesting write-up from FoxNews.com from Todd Starnes. Toxic masculinity? ? Dude, now America's universities are turning men into women. We've highlighted this before. This is happening on college campuses. And it's not a great thing, I don't think, in any way. So it's kind of interesting. He's got a few comments about it. And then he has an interesting little survey at the end. In relation to what do women look for? Do they like this as well? Campus Reform, he says, recently reported on efforts to provide, quote, safe spaces to fight back against what the academic world calls toxic masculinity. Can you, if you're a guy, can you go into that safe space? I just want to get away from myself. can you do that?
It's just such a stupid idea, toxic masculinity. I actually saw a guy on CNN the other night complaining that all of the primetime guys on Fox News are white males now because Megyn Kelly left.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy complaining is a white male. Why do you hate yourself so much?
I saw a commercial this morning kind of similar to this. I don't even know what it was for, but the premise was this lady was looking to buy a house. And she sees this house, and it's in a city, and she's really excited about it. And then she turns around, she sees this street full of traffic, and people are yelling and stuff. And I guess the idea being, the house is cool, but she didn't like the location. So they're trying to show that the street is terrible and crowded and everything. So this guy's in traffic and he gets carjacked. Like, they take the wheels off and they pick the car up and actually carry it away while he's in it. And I couldn't help but notice all four guys doing it were white.
Come on.
I'm like, well, that could happen, but they were very careful. You know they have to pay attention to the, how they break down the racial. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that should be shown for any race. I'm just saying they were very careful to make sure that they didn't offend anybody with the carjacking. Mm-hmm. So they just make it the white people because no one's going to be upset about that.
Well, there aren't. I mean, if we're honest, there aren't necessarily a whole lot of white gangs in the country. There's like the Aryan Nation, and that's it.
And a few guys on motorbikes.
Yeah. And they will tell you very strongly, they are not a gang.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so, and I just thought commercials like that are interesting because they're so careful at how they're trying to break down race and gender and fit into the little narrative of things. But anyway, so again, there's this fight against toxic masculinity. He highlights a couple of universities here. Oregon State University is hosting a, quote, health masculinities conference. Students will engage in collective imagining to construct new futures for masculinities unrestricted by power, privilege, and oppression. Trying to envision, I would almost like to go to that just to see what people do. You just imagine, raise your hand and give an idea. I don't know. Or do you have to raise your hand? Just shout it out.
Or just, are we all just thinking silently?
I'm imagining something over here. Could you be accused of not imagining? You know, it looks like you're not imagining. This is what this conference is about, buddy.
Maybe we could get sent up there as reporters.
We should
go on site.
Do it. Do one of those videos like they put on YouTube where you just go ask people questions.
We could give a live radio broadcast on site, and anyone who walks by, we could challenge them to come on the show, see what they learned.
We could probably get in there if we were ladies, but being men, white guys, I don't think we could get in there. Brown University has a program titled Masculinity 101 for students who identify as men. I guess that would be...
So if we identified as black females, even though we're clearly white men... We could get in.
We could get into a different class of some kind. They say, and then he says, get a load of the course description titled Unlearning Toxic Masculinity. He said, men will often, description for the class. Men will often resort to violence to resolve conflict because anger is the only emotion that they have been socialized to express. Unfortunately, the way that young men are conditioned to view sex and their need to be dominant and have power over others also contribute to instances of sexual assault and other forms of interpersonal violence on college campuses. You know, the thing about that that's so irritating is the reason that you have more of those, say, sexual assaults, and I don't know how many they have, but it's the exact opposite. It's because they didn't have proper male leadership to tell them how to act like a proper man. Mm-hmm. And they're also watching pornography, if anyone wanted to bring that up, mm-hmm. constantly. So they want to ignore all these issues and say it's just toxic masculinity. What, as a young man, what was the biggest deterrent against you getting into any sort of trouble? It's your dad.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Fear of your dad.
That kept me out of so many bad situations, just knowing that there was a real man in the house. Even if I thought I was a tough teenager, I was nothing compared to him when I came back home.
Yeah, and that is important in the development of a man. So they're trying to do away with masculinity, but actually that's the thing that protects people from, they say, you know, all they've learned is violence. Not if you had a proper father, you didn't. Because if you started getting a little too big for your britches, as they say, you say that's enough. And you get in line and learn to control yourself.
Right.
And the problem is no one's learning to control themselves. Mm-hmm. And so that's why you have problems, not because of toxic masculinity. It's because of a lack of masculinity. That's really the issue.
Right. And what frustrates me about a lot of these course descriptions for some of these new outrageous classes they're coming up with is that there's just a shred of truth in there. Maybe violence is a problem. You know, maybe sexual assault can be a problem, although it's more rare than what is intimated. But still, there are problems. There are real issues. But the thing is, no one wants to talk about family anymore. We have totally tried to push all of these alternate family situations, even though only one of them works best. It's where the man and the woman are married, and they stay faithful to each other, and they raise kids through that structure. Mm-hmm. If it's not that way, whatever else it is, it doesn't raise kids as well. And then you have maybe you have some out of control young males who don't know how to act like men.
Yeah. And even as far as the way a man would treat a woman. I mean, where does he learn that? He would learn it from his dad treating his mom properly. Mm-hmm. In some cases, that doesn't happen, but that's a family problem. That's not a problem with, you know, the roles that God has set up.
Who takes the place of his own father and mother if that's not what he has at home?
Right.
Who's going to tell him how to treat a woman then? Is it going to be a hip-hop song or some raunchy movie?
Right. Well, and that's the thing. You know, they have all these classes going after toxic masculinity, as they say, and they talk about the problems. Violence and, well, sex and the misuse of it. Why don't they have a class called Why Hip-Hop is Destroying, you know, People Through the Misuse of Sex and Violence?
Exactly.
Well, they would never do that.
No.
But that's what they brag about in those songs. I'm not saying every single one ever for the listener that's like, hey, you know, but most. I think we all know that. It's a big mystery. So they have some of these classes at college universities. He says, in today's re-engineered version of manhood, guys no longer have friends. They have bromances, and they settle disputes by hugging it out. You want to hug it out?
Well, I don't really see too many huge problems with those two things. Bromances and hugging it out don't seem like they're a threat to people.
Yeah, so it's he says that's a way that men are, you know, changing, and they're handling.
Oh, so it's a good thing.
Well, he's saying that they're trying to re-engineer the way that men interact with everybody. Mm. They're making it more feminine. Not that's wrong to have. It's just kind of terminology at some point. I mean, you can have a friend and say, yeah, we're friends, I guess, bromance, whatever. Hugging it out, well, I don't know. That's not a bad idea. Maybe high-five it out. I don't think we need to have dueling pistols, you know, but different ideas there. Anyway, but he goes on to say men's magazines are now filled with articles such as, quote, and this is an actual article, what men know about wearing eyeliner.
Shouldn't know a thing about it.
Shouldn't know anything. A survey of AskMen.com found that 20% of men have no problems wearing makeup. Well, there you go. But he says, a few years ago, I concluded an unscientific poll to determine what the average American woman looks for in a man. So they're giving us, the universities are giving us this narrative of how men should be, which is feminine. It's what they're saying. Men should act like women. Do women like that? The poll results were not all that surprising, he says. Ladies want a man who loves God and loves his family. They also want a man who, in no particular order, does these things. Has a job. Drives a pickup truck. I don't have a pickup truck, but that's okay. Eats meat. And is willing to carry them, willing and able to carry them out of a burning building. In other words, they want the kind of man made in God's image, he says, not the image of some effeminate intellectual stuffed in skinny jeans sipping chai tea with his pinky finger extended.
The ones who fit that description are all the girls' friends.
Yeah.
They're not the ones that they would ever think of as a future mate.
Right. That's he's a little snarky in his comments, obviously, but I think it does bring up some good points. And in some cases, you know, I don't mind them being a little bit snarky. The other side is so snarky that once in a while, giving it back isn't a bad thing. So kind of interesting there, and I think certainly the way they're trying to re-engineer manhood, as they say, is disturbing, to say the least. There's a lot of good write-ups at thetrumpet.com about manhood and about family and about the roles of men and women. And so check those out if you get a chance. It's all free at thetrumpet.com. Grant, have you gone down to the Trader Joe's that we have here in town?
No, I don't even think I knew we had one.
We do. Yeah, it's down by Penn Square Mall in that area.
Okay.
Sort of in, I mean, close to that area, I guess, down sort of by Whole Foods and down there. For those that are local, for those that are listening online and don't know what I'm talking about, Google it. Google Maps. Trader Joe's is popular in a lot of places. They did a little survey of Trader Joe's foods that are the best according to customers. So if you go down there, here's a list of some of the favorites. Mandarin Orange Chicken, that's their favorite overall food. The favorite bakery item is a soft pretzel stick. Favorite beverage, spiced cider. Runners up for that were the triple ginger brew. I'm a fan of the ginger brew.
Mm.
It's delicious. Got a little kick to it. Favorite candy, dark chocolate, peanut butter cups. Favorite cheese, unexpected cheddar. Unexpected cheddar? What were you expecting? You thought it was going to be Swiss?
Exactly.
Unexpected cheddar.
That's a funny name.
Is it more cheddar-y than we thought it was going to be, or we just thought it was something completely different?
Probably a different type of flavor than we were expecting, at least.
Unexpected. I haven't tried it. I want to try it just to see what happens.
Those dark chocolate peanut butter cups sound outstanding.
Yeah. Favorite coffee is a cold brew coffee. Favorite condiment, organic ketchup. I guess that would always be the winner. I don't know what else it would be. And so they have a few other things there too. It's not a bad little store. They've got some interesting things if you go down there. It's kind of a, I don't know. It is sort of in that health food range, but not really. I don't know what their deal is exactly. I think it's all kind of like it's their own brand of stuff. You know what I mean? Like they're not selling other people's brands. Mm-hmm. So we've gone there a few times. Prices are pretty good. Food's pretty good. Free samples. Can't really go wrong.
That's true. I always hear they have pretty high quality items there too.
I think the one thing that kind of is a drawback here in Oklahoma is they're not allowed to sell alcohol because the liquor stores sell it if it's a certain alcohol content. And that if you go to a Trader Joe's in a different state I don't know about every state, but in certain states, they have a lot of their own alcohol there too, which is nice. Wine, things like that, fairly inexpensive. And so that's the one thing that's missing in the Oklahoma one.
Their own brand too?
I think so.
Wow.
Yeah. And I don't know if they get, you know, how that exactly all works, but it's kind of an interesting little store. And I think, I might be wrong on this, but I think they're owned by the same group that owns Aldi's. If you've ever been to that store.
Aldi, yeah. My wife goes there all the time. Yeah. Really, it's very cheap.
I always call it Aldi's, but it's really Aldi.
Right.
But to me, it's Aldi's.
Most people do that where they put an S on the end of a restaurant name.
Yeah.
Or any place.
So I think it's the same. I think it's a German company that owns it. I could be wrong on that. If I am, I'm sorry. I stand corrected. But I will stand corrected if I'm wrong. but I think it's the same company. So anyway, those are some of the favorite foods if you've been down to Trader Joe's. Somebody right now is listening and going, you know what? I think I'm going to go to Trader Joe's tonight.
We really should get paid for that plug we just did.
Just send us some of those peanut butter cups.
That's all we need.
We'll take our payment in peanut butter cups. Then we'll have to have our drawing redone where we're much heavier.
So, I already think my drawing was too flattering in the first place.
Those guys with the big chins. Of course, this one's happening, and this we'd like to highlight stories that are just kind of ridiculous, but this one's a little more mainstream but still ridiculous. Here's the headline. Obama, here's what surprised me most about being president. He was asked that question. CBS's Steve Croft asked him if anything had surprised him during his time as president. What do you think it would be that surprised him the most?
Oh, well, that maybe he was treated unfairly for his race.
Nope, that one didn't come up, at least not as the top one. Yeah, he said it was partisanship. He says, I was surprised and continue to be surprised by the severity of partisanship in this town, referring to Washington, D.C. He said, I will confess that I didn't fully appreciate the ways in which individual senators or members of Congress now are pushed to the extremes by their voter bases. I did not expect, particularly in the midst of crisis, just how severe the partisanship would be. Because, you know, he's right down the middle. He wants to hear ideas from every side and act on them. Have you ever seen that in 8 years? He's surprised by partisanship? Really? Of course he is.
Well, there have been stories about him being at the negotiating table with Republicans, and they think that they're making good progress. But then as soon as they are about to reach a compromise, he walks out of the room, and then one of his aides will come in and say, look, it's either his way or you need to get out. Out of nowhere.
Exactly. That's exactly what the track record is. Here is a story from the Washington Times today. Obama scores the worst legislative record in history. Over the course of his 8 years, he has signed just 1,227 bills into law, less even than one-term presidents Carter and George H.W. Bush. And so here's a man by the name of Andrew Bush. He is a presidential scholar at Claremont McKenna College in California. He says this: the president was never good at reaching across the aisle. So when the composition of Congress changed relative to what it was in his first 2 years, he wasn't able to accommodate that very well. Notice this. he never accustomed himself to operating in a system where he was not the sole player.
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth. And he says he's surprised by the partisanship. He's surprised that people don't just do what he wants all the time. That's what he means.
Right. Yeah, and also, if you think about just past presidents, there's never been someone who has been so dogmatic about getting his way every time. I mean, there's never been such partisanship either. So there has to be something, there has to be a correlation there. The fact that the president is so intent on getting his way probably has contributed to a lot of partisanship where the Republicans don't want to just get bowled over as he tries to radically transform the country.
The formula that he's used has been pretty much the same every time. He'll come out and say, I want to work with everybody. I want to hear all the ideas. Let's just get things done. They have some sort of meeting. They don't usually let the other people talk. If they do, it's dismissed. And then they try to push through their idea, and Congress wouldn't allow it. And they say, well, Congress doesn't want to do anything. I'll act on my own. I'll make an executive order. Well, you almost become speechless because it's such just a continual circle of lies.
Mm-hmm.
You're just asking for ideas. I mean, you have no intent of actually using them. It's ridiculous. And that's what's happened every time.
He's completely surrounded himself by yes men, people who agree with his grand progressive agenda for the country. If we remember correctly, Abraham Lincoln, he actually surrounded himself with people who fought him for the presidency most intensely. So once he became president, he brought these people with differing viewpoints into his cabinet. Anytime he had an idea and it wasn't necessarily the right one, these people would actually be telling him, look, here's our perspective, and he would go with what they were saying. If you just have people around you all the time who are praising you like the media does, but also his own people, and they agree with everything you say, what's the point of even trying to overcome partisanship? That's not what he wants. He wants people around him who are going to agree with everything.
Yeah, just like this presidential scholar said, he never accustomed himself to operating in a system where he was not the sole player. And that's the way it goes. And this also highlights just the shame of the media. CBS's Steve Croft, he asked him, what surprised you about being president? And he gives his big answer. That's where Croft should have said, well, according to the record, Mr. President, you have the worst legislative record in history. And here's a quote from this professor saying, you don't know how to operate where you're not the sole player. Could you explain that? I don't think he asked that. I think he just said, oh, that sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
And then moved on to the next one. They could ask some questions. They could ask some serious questions if they wanted to, but, you know, they'd probably shut down the interview. They'd be scolded, and they wouldn't get a chance to interview him again.
Well, we also know that he only was giving these exclusive interviews to people who agreed with him ideologically, to liberal institutions who wouldn't really question him hard because they were on his side in the first place.
Yeah, it's just a crazy, crazy situation. Every time I say the word crazy, I think back to that list from the other day. We're not supposed to say crazy anymore. I can't help it. I'm gonna use it. I can't think of a better word to describe it.
That is actually the best word for this.
It is the best word for it. Yeah, it's crazy. Kia David program's coming up here in a bit on KPCG. Two episodes today. Make sure you listen for that. If you can't catch it live, the archives are online at kpcg.fm. Audio and video there at thetrumpet.com as well. And then also the Trumpet Daily Radio Show today with your host, Stephen Fleury. Quite a few topics discussed, a lot of news headlines gotten into. So make sure you do listen for that as well. And again, that's live at 7 a.m. Comes from Edstone, England. And if you can't catch that live, archives are at kpcg.fm. Online at thetrumpet.com. You can find it on SoundCloud, podcast, and iTunes. All kinds of places to get it. Listen at your convenience.
Binge listen. That's what we always say.
Binge listen. When you're at Trader Joe's shopping for peanut butter cups, put your headphones in.
That's right.
People will think you're listening to the latest hip hop, but you're not. Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Depending on your age, I guess. Grant, you've got an interesting write-up here for us. This is from The Federalist, and it's a report. Schools are teaching kids to hate America under the guise of civics. They say the new civics sweeping colleges in K-12 teaches that citizenship means looking for grievances, then agitating for bigger government to address them.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah, there's a really great definition of this, what they call new civics, here toward the end of the article. And I'll just give that so people get an understanding of what we're talking about. It says, New Civics is actually anti-civics. It teaches students how to be bad citizens, how to dismantle rather than preserve and improve their country. New Civics teaches young people to revolt against the country that, among other things, educated them, provided for their security against foreign aggressors, and secured liberties most people in the world never had and still don't have. Freedom of speech, freedom of association, the right to a representative government dependent on citizen consent. Since they're utterly ignorant of these basic historical truths, the young people hearing this propaganda have few defenses. So that's what they're replacing traditional civics with. Civics is a class where you understand the functions of the different branches of government. For example, you learn about different ways to volunteer or be active in the community in a constructive way, not in community organizing, which is Mr. Obama's past before he was a senator, but not protesting in the street, but kind of using constructive thought and finding ways to improve your surroundings.
Yeah, it's interesting. Once you change the way history is taught and you change that basis of understanding your world, you can start to change a lot of things. And you can be kids can be presented with information that really doesn't stand up historically. But if they don't know that, you know, you can think about another country, like say, you know, China. There was we had a story on the radio station about a year ago, I guess, about, you know, China's history books. Well, they're different than America's history books, right? Or the way they think the world should be. It's different than what we think over here. And so, and it's so strange though to be taught in your own country to not like yourself.
Right.
Most countries don't do that. That's very rare.
Right. It's an extremely dangerous way of raising the next generation. And strangely enough, we're not hearing the left crying about Russia here. This is communist infiltration of the education system to where they're trying to make the next group of people brainless zombies protesting in the streets. That's what people are learning. They're completely disregarding their history. They're not proud to be Americans anymore. They don't care about things like military service, voting, or jury duty. They don't care about the basics of their own country's history. And this type of new civics teaching has actually brought about a broad decline in American civic life. For example, volunteering has dropped off dramatically, even though there's plenty of unemployment and free time that people have now. Far fewer Americans participate in social activities and organizations. Instead, you'll see some of these radical left socialist groups behind these different protests in American cities. And then also military service is drawing from an increasingly narrow portion of Americans because a lot of people don't really care to do that anymore. So it is, and then also what they're doing is they're taking away the young people's knowledge of American government and history, but just simply by not teaching it. And yet those same young people are still allowed to vote. Is it any wonder that they tend so far toward the leftist side?
It's amazing. And the point about Russia is a really good one that you made because what a coup for them, right? Like if you are the enemy of another nation, and you think, how could we fight them? How could we destroy them? Let's get them to teach themselves that they are inherently evil and that they hate themselves. And let's just get them to do that. I mean, if you could do that, you'd be a genius, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't even have to do anything. You just sit back and let them burn themselves up. And that is what's happening. It's so amazing. It's like, say, when the pilgrims, I guess, first came to the U.S., or came to North America, you know, there's nothing here, really. You need to build the systems. You need to do, everybody needs to participate for it to work. But people now kind of think like, well, everybody owes me everything. I don't need to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't be dropped off on an island and live that way. You'd be dead pretty quick.
That's right. Yeah. The general consensus is that Russia lost the Cold War, but did they really, or were they just playing the long game? I mean, they have had operatives in this country for the last 50, 60 years, people coming over through foreign exchange programs, for example, and then just staying here. And they're basically acting as spies on behalf of Russia. Even after that empire shut down, they're still winning the war for American minds. As we can see by this generation, look at all the young people in the streets just mindlessly chanting these different slogans. These new civics classes are actually requiring for graduation unpaid volunteer work at these leftist organizations like Planned Parenthood, for example. So states like Illinois, Massachusetts, they're requiring young people to go work at these places, places like Planned Parenthood, that has pretty much made abortion like an assembly line procedure where they're just, they're getting as many women in there as possible and trying to make as much money as they can off of killing a fetus. That's what these young people are surrounding themselves by when they're not at school. They're volunteering at places like that.
Yeah, it was really amazing. The young people are definitely, if they're going through like these sorts of school courses and being brought up in this curriculum, they're just being funneled into the very radical left way of thinking about everything. But, and like you said, Russia's playing the long game. It's China too. Mm-hmm. They think way in the future. And we don't in this country. And it's interesting because if you do think a little bit ahead, though, what does the generation become? What does the United States become? If you have a nation of self-hating people that are, you know, pro-abortion, transgender, homosexuality, you name it, racial divisions, how long does that survive? Is that a strong, vibrant country in 10 years? I don't know how it can be.
Well, that's the crop of people from which we would have to pull our military heroes, the people who protect and serve and, you know, take out enemies overseas so that we don't have to experience another 9/11, for example. But where are the heroes going to come from if instead of caring about serving your community in a constructive way, what they're doing is learning how to be social justice warriors, learning how to be paid protesters who travel in buses across the country to join the next riot.
Yeah, and even fighting against the police, rioting against the police. In some cases, they're actually becoming, you could say, you know, armed enemies against their own country. In some cases where they're going out and actually being violent, and that has happened, of course, mm-hmm. in Dallas and other places. So it's just an amazing thing. And yet it's even like that story earlier about what the universities are doing to manhood. They're trying to highlight all these problems, and in some cases they are problems, but their solution to it is actually what's causing the problem, and they're just going further down that road. And it's right. The same with this story.
Yeah, it's really alarming to see this, and yet no one is sounding the alarm. It's shocking. This new civics program actually aims to make radical protest a daily occurrence so that you can't govern this country unless it's along progressive lines. If there's not a progressive leader in charge of the country, then you're going to see protests in the streets every day. Are we not seeing that now? Are we not about to see a lot more that are organized by these socialist groups that are just pulling in these clueless young people to protest the inauguration on Friday? It's just, they're making it where anyone who has a lick of sanity left can't peaceably rule the country anymore.
They're talking about the inauguration and everything. Of course, the media is doing all they can to make it, you know, volatile, I guess. And this morning I happened to catch a little bit of an interview. I think it was on ABC. And they were interviewing this lady, this teenage girl, I guess. She's going to sing the anthem at the inauguration. And they were kind of in a tough spot because they wanted to put a little pressure on her because she's singing in the inauguration within this interview. But yet her brother is now trying to be a girl. So she has a transgender sister, I guess is what you'd call it. So they were a little stuck in their interview because they really couldn't attack her because she was very progressive, as they would see it. Mm. But yet she's also singing the national anthem for Donald Trump. So they were trying to like be nice, but sort of not, and saying, well, there's a lot of pressure on you there to sing, and you know a lot of people don't like that, and they would try, but they couldn't really go after her because of the transgender. What a convoluted world we live in, and it's just so confusing, really. If people are sitting out there and they don't have something to hold on to, some sort of anchor, and of course it's really God's word. If you don't have that anchor, what do you have anymore? Up is down, down is up. It's so confusing.
Right. What are our young people being taught to be proud of now? What they call diversity and inclusion, which means any type of perversion or immorality is fine. Do whatever you want. As long as you don't believe in God, that's fine. That's what they're being taught. And is it any surprise that internationally our will is completely crushed? Our will to go and be the world policeman anymore, to do our duty as the most powerful nation in the world, is just totally gone. So clearly immorality tears down confidence, and that's what we're seeing in the entire nation.
Yeah, even all the groups that have their special interests, they can't agree. Maybe for now they sort of look like they agree because they're fighting what would you call it, the conservative mm-hmm. side or something. But even them amongst themselves wouldn't agree. You're not going to get all those different little special interest groups to agree, and they would fight themselves too once the bigger enemy is not there.
Yeah, like the radical Muslims and the homosexual lobby, they have nothing in common except for they both hate Christians.
Right. And that's, you know, that guy Bill Maher, I don't know if you've seen him. He's pretty liberal and he's got some pretty out there ideas. But he takes a lot of flack for speaking out against Islam.
I love that about him, actually.
And yeah. He, you know, to his credit, he actually sticks to what he's saying about it. But he brings up that point, just the hypocrisy of, well, how can both groups, like you say, be on the same page when Islamic culture does not support all these progressive agendas we see here in the U.S. So how can they get along? And you can't. It's hypocrisy.
Yeah. Isn't it pretty easy to see by now the communist basically influence in this country, where we have all of these mixing kind of, you know, non-Christian, non-godly ideas that we're trying to fight for, as long as it's not anything to do with being proud of American history or proud of where we came from. Those are the ideas that are dominating now. So why would any of those people want to fight for America if they don't think it's a good place in the first place?
Yeah, they don't. What America stands for now is a pretty vague sort of thing. What does it stand for?
Well, the White House was lit up in rainbow colors, so maybe something like that. Maybe that's what we stand for.
Yeah, and it's just, again, it's getting further and further away from God, really. Because, I mean, even with the Constitution, at least they tried to base that on the Bible the best that they could, and they want to get rid of that. Get that law out of here. But then you have more and more problems. It's at the Federalist. You can read it. Report: schools are teaching kids to hate America under the guise of civics. Pretty interesting things going on. It's gonna be a really interesting 2017. Those are some of the things that are happening in the world today. Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio Live. For myself, Dwight Falk, and Grant Turchin, have a great rest of your Wednesday, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG.